Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
To you by Riley's Sports Shop in Hooksett. You can find them online at rileysguns.com, 485-5000. And stay tuned. Penny Dean coming up next. You're on Bulldog Live.
And it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live as we talk to attorney Penny Dean. While we are, Penny, we are outside the Shaw Supermarket on Fort Eddy Road in Concord for our Hunger Hurts in New Hampshire food drive to help benefit the food bank. So why don't you spread the word around and have people come on by? We'll be here all week long from morning till night.
Oh, yay. You know, one of the other things that firearm owners do in the state is hunt for the hungry, you know, that they give game meat to the poor, because game meat is super high in protein.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of the name of the place in Goffstown. It's this wonderful butcher that donates their time and processes all this meat. They're FDA approved, you know, the whole bit. And they process all this meat. I've personally transported bears from northern New Hampshire to the Goffstown butcher to, you know, process for Hunt for the Hungry, which is another really, really good program.
Oh, that's terrific. Well,
yeah. Yeah, think about it. There's a lot of people.
I've heard people say that before, that they can make these donations to the food bank that way. Yeah.
Absolutely. Hunt for the Hungry coordinates it. And, for example, Gun Owners in New Hampshire for years has sometimes given thousands of dollars to pay butchers and such. But the bottom line is a lot of people who hunt maybe either don't want game meat or have plenty because they're very successful hunters. Why wouldn't they donate this meat to the poor? It's great protein. It's good food. You know, and like I said, there's a lot of hungry people in the state. So I'm glad to see you're doing that. But that's another option for the pro-firearm community to get involved and to show people that, you know, there's a lot of good that we do every day.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number right here on Bulldog Live. Attorney Penny Dean joining us. And I'm going to do some Googling on some of the things you just told me. So so good.
Yeah.
Well, Penny, what do you have for us today?
Well, I think we have to talk about the very similar thing that we talked about last week, which is the Plymouth State University, UNH, and firearms on campus. And the reason for that is there are two gentlemen, and I don't know either one of these gentlemen, so if I'm mispronouncing the first one's name, I apologize. It's Tommy Mozingo and Bradley Jardis wrote a letter to the Office of General Counsel and Secretary at USNH, Plymouth State University, Holderness Police, and all the type of thing. And let me tell you what's very interesting to me. All these universities are coming out just bent out of shape about HB 334, saying, we can't have this firearms on campus. What are they going to do? Put them under their pillow, blah, blah, blah. And these are institutions of higher learning. They have attorneys on staff. And so one of two things has happened here, and I don't know the answer, but either one is unacceptable to me as a taxpayer, unacceptable to me as a human being, and quite frankly should make people rethink whether or not they want to attend these universities. How is it that we have RSA 159-26, which regulates firearms? In other words, the state has exclusive authority. Universities, which are arms of the state, cannot regulate and cannot ban things. And this law has been in effect since 2003. So it's not a brand new law, okay? It's been around for years and years and years. How is it that we have educators at these universities, lawyers, who claim they never knew it existed? Now, is this willful ignorance? No, I'm being serious. How is it that they, you know, their job is to run, I know. Think about this. Their job is to run the university. These are attorneys. Okay? Is it willful ignorance or honest ignorance? And I don't know the answer, but don't you think either one is simply unacceptable?
Well, what I find in my experience with people in college officialdom is that they'll be ignorant about it, and then when you tell them, they just want to, you know, well, gee, thanks for telling me, didn't know that, but this is still our position, and we're going to continue to defend it. Because that's the way we've always done things. That doesn't mean it makes it right, that just that's how they're going to do it.
You know, I think that's really... It's really offensive because you're supposed to be teaching students how to find the law, in part, how to be good civic citizens, and how to obey the law. Well, if you're given an example of someone who's a lawbreaker, what does that tell you as a student? You know, you
but to many of these people, though, Penny, my experience has been to law be damned. You just have to pay attention to the dictates of the college bureaucrats.
And you want me to tell you what? The only way to get their attention is in their pocketbook. So the question is, are there other universities to attend that are more honest? Do we as taxpayers want to continue to subsidize and fund these universities at the level we have if they're going to ignore the law? And particularly, for example, New Hampshire Technical Institute wrote a letter to Representative Hole, who he was kind enough to share with us, and I know you're on location, but I've emailed it to you so you can put it on the site. And here's one of their bullet points. We are concerned that a gun may be left unsecured while a student is engaged in on-campus social or athletic activity or an academic activity where a gun should not be worn, i.e. clinical setting or child care practicum. And I guess my question for them is, why shouldn't a firearm be worn there? You know, my question is, I mean, my first question is, okay, they've made this statement, but the bottom line is, I carry my firearm when I go to a party. I carry my firearm when I'm mowing the grass. I carry my firearm when I go running. I consider, well, when I used to run before my knee blew out, I consider running an athletic activity. You know, an academic activity is, for example, in the classroom. There's a new study that came out, and it's actually quite instructive. And it's talking about the mass shootings that occurred, how the colleges, for PR or other technical reasons, didn't get out the warnings quick enough. There's supposed to be warning systems in place at colleges. And the bottom line is, in the past, those warnings have not got out correctly and timely when there's an active shooter on campus. And the bottom line is,
this flaw was shown in the Virginia Tech incident, and the feds had come down recently on top of Virginia Tech to the tune of I don't know how many thousands of dollars in fines because their system was an abject failure.
Absolutely. It's the Virginia Tech thing, and I don't feel, as a person, that I would want to rely on, first of all, a warning system, what, to tell me to run away and cower? Last time I checked, I can't outrun a bullet, you know. And so the bottom line is, in this particular instance, I mean, the fact that you give me a warning system, that's really great. But I'll tell you what, this study, and it's from shortly after 2007, and this is the U.S. government. They levied $55,000 in fine, contending the school was too slow in notifying students, faculty, and staff, and therefore in violation of federal law requiring timely warnings when there are safety threats. Now, the bottom line is, you know, they say, how timely? Do you want to be the one to take a gamble about whether or not UNH or any other particular school can notify you timely enough, or would you rather be able to protect yourself?
Mm-hmm, I mean, exactly.
Here's the bottom line.
I agree.
Here's the bottom line is that, for example, New Hampshire Technical Institute, in its letter to Representative Hole, said community college campus security is not structured to assume responsibility for accepting temporary custody of guns, storing them, maintaining proper documentation, or doing background checks before handing a firearm back over to a student to ensure he/she is lawfully allowed to possess it. Who's asking them to assume responsibility or store these firearms? The bottom line is,
right, exactly.
Here's what's really silly to me. these schools are missing the boat. They're now thinking, oh, my God, these students might be able to carry firearms on campus now. And what are we going to do with them? Well, the whole point of carrying firearms on campus is to carry them on campus, you know, to physically carry them. But more importantly, they are trying to act like, what are we going to do if this law comes in effect? And here is the thing that I've told students for years. You have to make your own choice about whether or not to carry a firearm or not, realizing that the risk is if you get caught on campus carrying a firearm, lawfully carrying it otherwise, you may risk expulsion, and we may have to go through the procedure and fight your expulsion. But it's like one gal told me who got fired from a job when there was an armed robbery, and she defended herself. She said, you got to be alive to get fired. You know, You know what I'm saying? In other words, she carried a firearm in violation of company policy, and she saved her own life. And she said, yeah, I got fired, but I'm alive. You know, she's like, I can get another job.
Yeah, there you go.
You can't get another life. And that's
true.
That's really the whole problem. And I think the larger issue that we're seeing, and this has really bothered me, I don't know if anyone has read the Concord, I call it the Concord Monotones position. The Concord Monitor and the union leader, the readership is vastly different. And I think the opinions that you've received in the paper, if anyone read the opinions overall in the Concord Monitor were negative, where the opinions in the union leader tend to be positive. And it's really interesting to me the different demographics, or at least the ones that write in the two different areas. You know, there's just really a difference. But I think what we're having today and tomorrow, supposedly there's individuals at Plymouth State who are going to be educating the students and passing out particular brochures. It's called an outreach event. And I think the important thing that's really making these university officials unhappy is there are individuals now going to the universities, educating the students about their rights and their risks. And the bottom line, yeah, think about this, because up until now, students thought it was illegal to carry firearms on campus.
Right.
They didn't understand that it was perfectly legal to carry them on campus. The only thing was that they were risking expulsion, academic rules that I'm not sure are valid, given the fact that the universities are arms of the state, and only the state can regulate firearms. So I'm waiting for the first student that gets expelled for having a firearm on campus, not for doing something wrong with that firearm, but merely for possessing a firearm on campus. And I think those rules are going to have to fall.
And I think this is what we were talking about last week. You know, the right already exists. What this law or the bill that Representative Hull is proposing, HB 334, would simply reaffirm the student's right to lawfully possess these on campus.
And that's what I think is very important, because even if this bill fails, the law's in place. The students absolutely have a right, and to other individuals.
But they would have to litigate it, probably, in order to exercise their right.
Only if you get caught and they expel you, okay? So, for example, if you carry a firearm concealed every day and no one knows about it, because if you carry concealed and don't tell anyone, no one knows about it, right?
And right.
And here's a saying that a friend of mine says, if I got a clear leather, everything else just doesn't matter. And so the bottom line is, unless they have to draw their firearm and save themselves or someone else, no one's ever going to know they're carrying a firearm. Now, if they do have to draw their firearm and save their own life, then it remains to be seen whether the university would be so unwise as to try and expel them for having a firearm on campus in violation of policy.
That would be a big, massive public relations disaster on their part.
Absolutely. Not only that, you have representatives who are really up in arms, figuratively, about the universities doing this, and they're the people that decide the university's budget. And so the bottom line is times are tough everywhere in New Hampshire and across the country. And so if I were a state rep, the answer is, do I want to give money to this university who's not following the law? You know, who's setting this
right, bad exactly.
example?
Well, Penny Dean joins us here on Second Amendment Tuesdays on Bulldog Live. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number. Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett, sponsoring this segment, very proudly as they do every week right here for our Second Amendment Tuesday segment. And, we'll tell you more about Riley Sports Shop. By the way, Penny, I was in there again, last week and, Oh, boy. Every time I go in there, I just come out learning a whole lot more and usually with more items in my hands, too. So,
isn't it?
I very rarely leave there empty-handed. Let's put it that way.
Well, you want me to tell you what amazes me? Yeah, you can't because, like, for example, Mossberg 590. I have a 20-some-year-old Mossberg 590. They've done nothing but make it better, and the price is still dirt cheap. I mean, Mossberg is considered, quote-unquote, a cheap shotgun, although I consider it a very good quality shotgun. It's still a cheap shotgun, and they have done more and more and more to add self-defense, I guess you'd say, factors and features on it, and the price just stays pretty much the same. And that's just
Well, the other nice thing too, there at Riley's, you can get yourself a very good used Mossberg as well.
Absolutely, and he has a new system in place. I don't know if you notice it. It's this little, I guess you call it a swipey card, and they give you a percentage of your purchases back in future merchandise.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so when you spend X amount of dollars, they put points or dollars on your card. I had a friend there the other night, spent a little bit of money, and got like 30-some dollars worth of points on the card. And so next time they come back, they get a 30-some dollar, what I call a credit, which, hey, money is money, right?
it sure is. Well, Penny, let's get to one call here before we have to go. Charles from Jaffrey, you're on Bulldog Live, along with attorney Penny Dean.
Hi, Penny. SB 88. I know we have very little time here. Maybe this is something better for the next show. But can you boil it down to three sentences for those who really didn't follow it closely when it was passed?
It passed. It's not going to give you near the protection that you need. And the bottom line is anti-self-defense prosecutors will still do whatever the heck they want. And until we elect judges in this state, you're still going to see, I think, unfair persecutions in cases that you shouldn't be persecuted. And so I'm sorry to say that I don't believe it was strong enough or it's going to give you it's better than nothing, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's just not going to be as helpful or useful as people would like. But the other thing that I think would be the biggest thing to help us is when you're electing county attorneys, which we do in this state, you need to look at their self-defense position. And I've got copies of letters. All of them wrote letters opposing even the little increment of SB 88. So the question you have to ask yourself is, do you want to reelect that person county attorney?
That's comforting.
And I posted them, by the way, on my website at briantilton.com on the Second Amendment Tuesdays page. In fact, I just updated it this weekend. And you can see all those letters and responses from Penny Dean to the county attorneys.
Great. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you very much, Charles. Yeah, and Penny, you know, can I propose something for next week?
Sure.
In this debate about having guns on college campuses, well, what if there's a shootout and you'll have this collateral damage because people won't know what they're shooting at? You have two people pointing a gun at each other, and you're not going to know who's the instigator in this and the like. Can we examine that in some detail next week?
I think that's an excellent idea, and I think we should talk about Pearl, Mississippi, and what's happened in real life when you do have someone from the university or the school, the high school, that's armed, and how quickly those things stop, as opposed to in other places like, let's say, you know, who knows where we've had horrible, horrible shootings, and basically what happens is we have a lot of people dead, as opposed to Pearl, Mississippi, where the hero stopped it. Hero was
okay, well, very
principal.
Good. Well, Penny Dean, again, thank you very much for joining us here today. And as we let you go, I did do some Googling. That Hunt for the Hungry program, New Hampshire Fish and Game has it on their website. And it is a program that the New Hampshire Food Bank participates in. And it's great. It's LeMay and Sons Beef in Goffstown that
does the
processing for it. Yeah. So there you go. So if you're donating a whole deer, you can bring it to them, and they can be reached at 622-0022, and they will process it for the food bank at no charge. So that's just good news there. So thanks for making us aware of the Hunt for Hungry program as well.
You're welcome, and LeMay is the name. The people there are absolutely fabulous, just good, wonderful people. And like I said in the past, you know, even if you can't transport your game, if you call GO&H at 225-4664, we transport lawfully taken game to there for you. I've personally transported bears and such from way up north that a person didn't want to take to LeMays. So we're willing every step of the way to help the hungry in the state.
All right, very good. Well, Penny Dean, thank you very much. Thank you to Riley Sports Shop, 485-5000, rileysguns.com. Open 7 days a week. Take care, Penny. Talk to you next week.
Next week.